Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join a member of our staff as they share another message from God's Word.
Well, I'm excited to share with you today. When Terry asked me if I would share today, I said yes. And then I began to think, okay, what will I talk about? Will I go to back to an old sermon, something that I'm comfortable with? And my wife challenged me and she said, no, you need to do something new. You need to do something you haven't done before. And so I started thinking, okay, what am I gonna talk about? And so for about a month now, I've been deciding what to talk about, and I've been getting in my car, driving to the office, and every time I get into my car and drive to the office, and it's sometimes different times, it's not always at the same time, but this song comes on, and maybe you've heard it before, maybe you haven't. It's Even If by Mercy Me, and I just thought, okay, I begin to listen to the words, really let the words sink in. I began to go onto my computer and type in what the words are and what the song means and the meaning behind it. And I just said, once I found out that, I said, I have to talk about this. I have to talk about this idea, even if. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego growing up was one of my favorite all-time stories. It has some great life lessons in it. And so we have to do this. And so I just said, okay. And so funny thing is, driving here today, about 9:32, what song was on? Even If. More confirmation from God that even if. And so we're going to explore this idea, these two small little words here, even if. And so if you're following along with us, I challenge you to, if you like the YouVersion app, go ahead and log on there. The event is set up. Follow along with us on your favorite social media. Check in. If you find something of value today, post that under hashtag FCC even if. And so just follow along and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. There's going to be a handout you can fill out as well. A lot of room to take notes. But before I preach, before I teach, I always say the same prayer. I always say it. And so it's the prayer that I'm going to pray in just a second. So please just pray with me. God, I pray that you calm my nerves. I pray, God, ultimately that it's you that are speaking through me to these people. God, you know what we all need to hear. You know what's going on in our lives, and you know how you need to speak to us. And so, God, my words can't speak to these people. Only your words can. So, God, that's what I want today. God, I want us to have open ears, open minds, and open hearts to what you have to say to us today. Your son's name I pray. Amen. Now, I like to sit down when I talk and teach. Just something I've come accustomed to. Man, we are often moved by people of great stories of courage in these difficult situations and circumstances. It often takes a certain resolve to be able to stand with such courage and in the face of sometimes even danger and really not give an inch. There was this man in Dundee, Scotland. He was confined to bed for over 40 years. You see, he broke his neck at the age of 15 in a fall. But his spirit, it remained unbroken. He had such courage, such cheer, that daily he would receive visitors, if not multiple visitors a day. Constant stream of people that would come visit this man. And one day this visitor asked, "Doesn't Satan ever tempt you to doubt God?" "Oh yes," the man replied. "He does tempt me. You know, I lie here, I look out the window, I see my friends driving, running by, having a good time." The visitor says, "Doesn't Satan ever whisper in your ear, 'Why does God allow this to happen to you? Why does God have to permit you to lay here and your neck to be broken after all these years? What do you do? What do you do then? What do you do during this time?'" The old man didn't even hesitate. He said, "Oh, simply, I take him to Calvary. I show him Christ, and I point to the deep wounds. And I say, you know what? He loves me. He does love me. And Satan has no answer for that. He flees every time. And stories like that give me chills. They're inspiring. Because that choice is based on principle. It's not based on emotion or circumstances. And oftentimes we will be faced with situations where our resolve is tested. Like Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being challenged to do something that went against God before the king, they made a choice regardless of the consequences. And it's often one of those Bible stories that we look at that we may have heard when we were small at a Sunday school, VBS, and we think we know all the details. We think we know what happened. And so today I want us to look deeper into this story, some life lessons that I think we can learn from these stories today. And the first one is this: God's people are persecuted. God's people are persecuted. And it's actually the first line in your handout. God's people are persecuted. In Daniel 3, 19 through 23, it says this. The words will be on the screen. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage, that he commanded the furnace be heated some 7 times hotter than usual. He ordered some of the strongest men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because of the king's anger, he demanded the fire be so hot that it actually killed some of the soldiers as they threw these three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Nebuchadnezzar had such rage, such anger, that he decided that he was going to heat this fire up so hot that it killed the guys throwing them in. I've had anger, I've had issues before, but never like that. That is crazy. Okay, that's just crazy. So hot that it killed the men throwing them in. Why? Why all this anger? Why all this rage? Well, in the previous verses, 9 through 18, we see why Nebuchadnezzar was so furious, and we're going to read those now. They said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king, you issued this decree requiring that all people bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear musical instruments. That decree also stated that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your God or the gold statue you set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And then when they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what god will be able to serve you and rescue you from my power?" These men, they're persecuted because of their stand and their standards. The gold image they set up, or that Nebuchadnezzar set up, he commands them whenever they hear the musical instruments that they're to bow down immediately. Now, we don't know what this gold statue was. It could have been of Nebuchadnezzar's favorite god. It could have been of Nebuchadnezzar himself. But either way, these men refused to bow. Their faith in God would not allow them to stoop to the same level of the people around them, no matter who that was. In other words, their standards and manners of life made them different from others around them. Colossians 3, 1 through 2 says this: "Since we have been raised to new life with Christ, set our sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand." Think about things of heaven, not of things of this earth. People today, we are called to be different. We are called to set our sights on heaven, not of things of this world. The standards of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was that of heaven, not of this world. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they cared more about honoring God than honestly staying on this earth. They had a different standard, and we must too. They were persecuted because of their Savior. Nebuchadnezzar here in 13 through 15 gives them a second chance. He kind of knows why these men are bowing down. He kind of mocks the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he implies himself, Nebuchadnezzar, is more powerful than the God that they served. And he basically demands that the boys bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's will, not God's will. Matthew 10, 37 and 38. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you love your sons or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. Believers, we should walk in total submission to the will of the Lord. We are to be totally sold out for Him and His will. He is to have first place in our life. You know, I remember growing up through Bible college, through the different churches I've been a part of, one of my older brothers saying, you know, don't you think God wants to keep family together? Why do you have to live so far away? Why do you have to live over in Indiana? Why do you have to live in Michigan? You see, my brother didn't understand. When I gave my life to full-time service for God, that means I was submitting to His will, God's will for my life, not my own. That I would determine where God placed me, where God moved me. And sometimes that means being away from family. These men, they're also persecuted because of their stand. And even when threatened with a horrible death, these men, they refuse to bend or bow. They take a stand in spite of personal cost. This is one of my favorite verses of the Bible. Listen how they reply to King in Daniel 3, 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, this is so key, this is huge, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear, your majesty, that we will never serve your God or worship the gold statue you have set up. Man, believers, we need to take a stand for Jesus. We need to be totally committed to Him. Because here's the bottom line. If you and I are going to live for Jesus, we're going to be persecuted. There's going to be fire, or there's going to be furnaces of criticism, furnaces of intimidation, furnaces of hatred, and furnaces of some trials. Trials that we don't think we can make it through on our own. And I want us to explore this idea of these furnaces exist to help us. Help us to become more like Jesus. Just as gold and silver are placed in a furnace to be refined through the fire, so are our lives. Now I know that's not much encouragement. But we do have to understand that this world is not our home. This world cannot understand us Christians fully. We are somewhat of a total mystery to lost people. They can't understand sometimes the way we live and the things that we do, or the love that we have for our God. I remember this in my life when Nicole and I made the decision to move here. We had a lot of people in Indiana say, wow, this just doesn't make sense. Nothing about this makes sense. She has a great job. Why are you throwing it all away to move here? What are you guys doing? And nothing about this decision made sense to them because they didn't realize the call that God placed on our life to be here. And sometimes we'll have to do things that just don't make sense to people. And you know what? That's okay. That is okay. The second lesson I want us to explore from today's passage is God's people are preserved. God's people are preserved. These three Hebrew men are cast into the fire. But amazing things happen, right? Instead of dying in the flames, they're loosened from the bounds. They were bound up. They were tied up. And they're walking around in the flames. And Nebuchadnezzar, he cannot believe his eyes. He commands them to come out, which they totally do, and they're unharmed. They're unharmed by the violence of the flames. And look at this amazing preservation that took place. I believe they were preserved by God. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the flames, they weren't found alone. The God they professed their faith in earlier met them in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar and the others, they couldn't believe their eyes. Didn't we throw three men in? Now there are four walking around, and they're not bound anymore. And I think here's a lesson for you and for me. Even in a furnace in Babylon, God kept His promise to His people. The promise that Isaiah tells us about in chapter 43, verse 2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through fires of oppression, you will not be burnt up. The flames will not consume you. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, we have that same promise today. When the flames arise around you, open your eyes. Open your eyes, for Jesus is right there. Jesus met them in the fiery furnace. Two things happened in the fire. They were free in the fire. All the fire did was burn the things that bound them. The Lord used the fire to loosen the ropes that held these men. I believe when the fire of persecution and affliction comes in our life, maybe we need to remember that the Lord is just freeing us from some things that maybe have a tight bond on our life. Maybe it's a bond of sin, bad attitude, bad habits, whatever it is. But sometimes we'll find we're freer in the fire than outside the fire. And here's another lesson we can learn when we're in the fire. We are fine in the fire. We are fine in the fire. The fire didn't kill them. It didn't harm them. They didn't even smell of smoke. God allowed them to go through the fire, but God did not allow the fire to go through them. Again, a powerful lesson for us. That furnace, let me tell you, it's frightening. But you were not brought to it for destruction, but for growth. God didn't want to harm you in the fire. He wants to help you. And the flames, even though they'll come, they're going to free you from what binds you. We'll be fine in the fire. Because of the promise of He will be there with us every step of the way, and He will preserve us through the fire. If you remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire. There were three men there, then four. And then Nebuchadnezzar calls them out. But only three come out. What happens to the one? Guess what? He's still in the fire. He's still in the fire for when we'll have to go there again. And He is waiting for us. He doesn't leave us in the fire. He doesn't forsake us in the fire. He's there for when we have to go through the fire again. Our last lesson I want us to look at today is that God's people are promoted. God's people are promoted. Everyone that day came away with a greater understanding of who God was and really what God could do. Going in, the three Hebrew boys didn't know what God would do for them. They had no idea. But they trusted God anyways. And Nebuchadnezzar, he thought he was more powerful than the God they served. And in the end, they learned God was greater. Greater than the king. Greater than the fire of the furnace. And notice what happens in verses 28 through 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent His angel to rescue His servants who trusted in Him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any other god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race, nation, language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb and their houses be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to an even higher position in Babylon. An old pagan king here exalts the name of the one true God because of what he saw God do for his people in that furnace. Nebuchadnezzar sees things differently. God uses sometimes horrible moments in the life of these three Hebrew men to touch the heart of a lost king. Now, sometimes we never know what God will do in the trials of our life. As we pass through the furnaces of our life, leaning on the grace of God to get us through. Maybe it's because God is using those moments to show the lost world who He is and how He can really help. It's because of a furnace situation in my life that I stand before you today. The man of God I am, because I've watched the faith of my mom in a hard time when my brother went through a really serious car accident. The faith of my mom is why I'm here today. The faith of my mom is why I'm still trusting today. The faith of my mom is why I can share with you today. He was using the faith of my mom to teach a lesson that I will never forget. And you know what? I didn't know it at the time. But I began to think, even if I did, it probably wouldn't have made it easier. God's people are promoted because they were faithful to God as they passed through the furnace. And on the other side, they're promoted in the kingdom. There's a little lesson in here for us. God really never uses anyone in a great way until they pass almost through a furnace situation. Elijah couldn't stand on Mount Carmel in the power until he sat in the dry brooks of humility. David couldn't lead the nation of Israel until he first had to watch someone else's sheep. And Gideon, he couldn't lead an army to victory until that army was cut down to 300. When God sends you to the furnace, it is not to help us. It is to grow us. He sends us there because I believe He's about to use you in a greater way, greater than we can imagine. I want to conclude with this. We all know the most famous verse in Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. If it was just that simple, we wouldn't need the rest of the Bible. When Jesus goes to the fire, when Jesus faces the flame of hell for us, when He hangs on that cross, what does He say to the Father? Is it so different than the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He says this, "If you will deliver me from the cross, O Father, then take this cup away from me. But even if you don't, I still will, because your will be done, Father, not mine." Jesus' final words are so awesome. Jesus loves us so much that He goes to the cross even if there's no certainty of resurrection. Jesus isn't just keeping His side of the bargain because He's going to get something in return. No. There's nothing in return promised. And right there, we learn the definition of love. We come face to face with God. We come to the foot of the cross, to the heart of Jesus, and we come to the definition of love in those words, even if. Those words are the heart of God. And I pray that we make them the heart of our life. I pray that we make them the heart of our faith, and I pray that we make them the heart of our love. Will you pray with me? God, sometimes such a simple word or couple words, even if, there's great power in that. There's great trust in that. There's great humility in that. God, we learned about the story about these three Hebrew men. They didn't know, God, if You were to save them. They had no idea. But they weren't willing. They weren't willing to bow down when others around them were. They were willing to take a stand. They were willing to stand up, even in the face of death. God, I pray when we're faced with these furnace situations in our life that we can have that same faith. That we can look at the face of danger and we can say, even if. even if. God, I thank you for these lessons in my life. God, and I pray that I continue and can continue to say even if. No matter what comes my way, that I still cling to you, God, and you alone. Because that's, at the end of the day, God, it's all we got. It's all we have. So help us. When that fire's hot, hotter than we can ever handle or think we can handle, God, that we can look at it in the face and say, even if. Your Son's name I pray. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting FlushingCommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.